What did one turkey say to the other when they saw the pilgrims? They look nice. Maybe they'll have us over for dinner. I know, I'll stop pretty quick. One company gives out Thanksgiving turkeys to retired employees, and all they have to do is stop by the plant to pick them up. So a few days before the holiday, a retiree called to ask, what time do the turkeys get in? The receptionist, without thinking at all, responded, everyone starts at 8. Okay, I better quit. Have you ever met someone who just seemed impossible to please? I don't need a show of hands. They're out there. They're out there. And they vote. A large dog walks into a butcher shop in carrying a purse in its mouth. He puts the purse down and he sits in front of the meat case. What is it, boy? The butcher jokingly asks. What, want to buy some meat? Woof, barks the dog. Hmm, said the butcher. What kind? Liver, bacon, steak? Woof, interrupts the dog. And how much steak would you like? Half a pound, a pound? Woof, interrupts the dog. Well, the amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. And as the dog leaves, there's a gentleman there waiting in line. He's watching everything as it happens, and he decides to follow that dog. It goes down the street and enters into an apartment house, climbs to the third floor, and begins scratching at the door. And with that, the door swings open, and the dog owner starts shouting at the dog. And the man says, stop. He says, he's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen. Intelligent, says the dog owner. He says, this is the third time this week he's forgotten his key. Some people can never be pleased. Some people can never be thankful for what they've got. Have you ever felt like that guy? You watched something that's been amazing and somebody else just didn't pick up on it? So this weekend is Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you about giving thanks even today. And the passage I want to use is Psalm 100. It's a great passage about giving thanks. It simply says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In this psalm, we want to look at just three aspects of thanksgiving that we need to be thankful. Sometimes we don't think, or we sort of forget, that the Lord is good and that His love endures forever. Sometimes we get to the place where we get somewhat despondent and say, well, if the Lord's good, then why such and such? In our psalm here, we find, first of all, there's an invitation to give thanks. We don't have to go too far, and we get invitations for all kinds of things. There's the odd wedding that comes up, and there's graduations that come up, and there's invitations that are sent out or are verbally passed on. There's an invitation. Thanksgiving is a time that is set aside to remember to give thanks to God for all that we have. Isn't it interesting that we have to set aside a time to give thanks? Thanksgiving became an official Canadian holiday back on Thursday, January 31st, 1957, when the Canadian Parliament proclaimed that Thanksgiving was to be a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for His bountiful harvest with which Canadians have been blessed. I don't imagine they'd use all those same words today if they were trying to put that back out together. But it was dedicated as a day to give thanks to Almighty God for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon you. Just stop to think that through. I mean, we could have sang Count Your Blessings today. And I sing that regularly at Centennial Center and ask them, have you really counted your blessings? Because some of these people have gone through just phenomenal loss and grief. But there's so many things that we can be thankful for. There's so many things. So from the beginning, the focus was given to giving thanks to God. It was an invitation to the nation to give thanks. We see this invitation in the psalm that we just finished reading. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So in this verse, the invitation to thankfulness is given to us. He invites us into his presence. It's almost like verse 4 could start with the word, come, come, enter his gates. Invitation to us. We find throughout Scripture there's invitations everywhere. And the other one that would come to my mind right now as I stand at the door and knock, if anyone hears my voice, and invites me, I will come in. There's an invitation. So in this verse, we've been asked, invited to come. God wants to spend time with us. There's a song from a band called Krumbecker Dude called, and this is years back, called Worlds Away. And on that tape, that's what tells you that it's years old, right? It's on a tape. It goes like this, some of the lyrics. And was the last time you heard from me the last I heard from you? Does my lack of inspiration mean you're blue? From silence, can I really be the last time that you heard from me was the last time I heard from you? Oh, how long since the last time? This song is God asking the question, is the last time you gave thanks the last time you had anything to be thankful for? What question, isn't it? Of course, the answer is no. We see God's blessings all the time, but fail to take the time to say thank you for them. Max Lucado tells about living as an American in Brazil. And one day as he's walking along the street on his way to university to teach a class, he felt a tug on his pant leg. And turning around, he saw a little boy about 5 or 6 years old with dark, beady eyes and a dirty little face. And little boy looked up at the big American and he says, bread, sir? He was a little beggar boy, as Lucado said. He says, there's always little beggar boys in the streets of Brazil, and usually I turn away from them because there are so many that you can't feed them all. But there was something so compelling about this little boy that I couldn't turn away. So taking his hand, I said, come with me, and I took him into a coffee shop. Max told the owner, he says, I'll have a cup of coffee and give this boy a piece of pastry, whatever he wants. And since the coffee counter was at the other end of the store, Max walked on and got a cup of coffee, forgetting about the little boy, because beggar boys usually just get their bread and run, and that's the end of it. They disappear. Not this one. After he got his pastry, he went over to the big American and just stood there until Lucado felt his staring eyes, and Max says, I turned and I looked at him standing up. His eyes would hit me about my belt buckle. Then slowly his eyes came up until they met mine. And the little boy holding his pastry in one hand looked up at me and he said, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Lucado says, I was so touched by that little boy's thanks that I would have bought him the whole store. I sat there for 30 minutes, late for my class, just thinking about a little beggar boy who came back and said, thank you. What about you? How do you respond to the love and the mercy of Jesus? Do you just take it for granted and forget it? Or do you accept God's invitation to draw near and give thanks? I have to admit, I probably don't draw near and give thanks anywhere near enough. I think we need to step into the invitation. He invites us. Come into my presence. Give thanks. Secondly, what's your motivation to give thanks? Hopefully it's not because Pastor Rick's up at the top here talking, making me feel guilty because I don't do it. That would be bad motivation and certainly not my intention. What motivated the psalmist to enter in and to give thanks and praise? It was God's character and his conduct. His love and his faithfulness down through the years. Every little thing that we can go and look at, and if we were to take a page of foolscap and just start marking down, even for one day, all the things that God has allowed for us. we would see that there's a motivation there that needs to be there. It comes from verse 5. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What is it that motivates us to give thanks today? Well, I'm going back home and my mom and dad's got turkey for us. That's a pretty good idea. That gives me motivation. There's always pumpkin pie. That's motivation. There could be other things. I could open it up to the floor, but somebody might want to get to their pumpkin pie. What is it that motivates us to give thanks today? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? The roots of Thanksgiving go back much farther than when it became a holiday back in 1957. The very first recorded Thanksgiving in North America was celebrated back in 1621 when the Plymouth colonists and Native Americans shared an autumn harvest meal. It was a feast. And maybe you've heard that story, but most of us do not understand the background to that story. It was in 1605 that a Native American named Squanto from the village of Patuxet, Massachusetts, met with his first white man. He later traveled to England with an explorer named John Weymouth. And in England, he experienced many adventures and he was able to learn some English. He returned to America in 1608, 3 years later. And on his return to America, he was kidnapped by Englishman Thomas Hunt, who was one of John Smith's lieutenants. And he was taken from Massachusetts, along with some other Native Americans, by an English ship captain and sold into slavery in Spain. There, Squanto was bought by a Spanish monk who treated him well, freed him from slavery, taught him the Christian faith. And Squanto eventually made his way back to England, where he improved his English. He worked in the stables of a man named John Slaney. And Slaney sympathized with Squanto's desire to return home, and eventually he was able to send him back to America. It wasn't until 1618, 10 years after Squanto was first kidnapped, that he was on a ship returning to America as a free man. And when he arrived home, he learned of the second blow delivered by the English. His tribe had died from an epidemic, probably of smallpox, brought by the earlier colonists. So he and another Native American, Samoset, went to live with a neighboring tribe near Plymouth, and it was there that he was introduced to the new Plymouth settlers. Now he had enough stuff in his mind and in his memory that he could be quite bitter about the English people. But there Squanto became a picture of forgiveness. He'd been captured by the English and been sold into slavery. His entire tribe had been wiped out by the English because of a disease that they weren't ready to be able to fight off. His entire tribe had been wiped out. Instead of being bitter, he chose to help the 47 of the 102 pilgrims who had barely survived their first harsh winter. He helped them build warm houses. He taught them when to plant their corn crop and how it should be planted. And without his help, there would not have been 20 acres of corn produced that year. 20 acres, you say? Yeah. Squanto always also advised the pilgrims in their relations with other North American Indians. He helped them to make friends, acted as their interpreter, guided them on trading expeditions, gave advice on bargaining. And the pilgrims wouldn't have made it through that year without the wisdom and guidance of Squanto. Governor William Bradford, in Bradford's History of the English Settlement, wrote regarding Squanto's death, "Squanto fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much at the nose," which the Native American take as a symbol of death. And within a few days, yes, certainly he died. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven and bequeath several of his things to English friends as remembrances. His death was a great loss. There would have been no first Thanksgiving without Squanto, who made a choice to forgive out of the forgiveness that he had received in Christ. That Thanksgiving flowed out of the thankfulness of one man's heart. Through trials and difficult situations, he had been prepared to be a blessing. Do you understand what it's like? Are you prepared to be a blessing? What do we have to be thankful for today? How has God's great love and faithfulness been seen in our own lives in the past year? We have so many reasons to give thanks. What motivates you to be thankful today? Thirdly, let us celebrate Thanksgiving. It's one thing to just say, yeah, I'm thankful. I've got a home to live in. I've got a great family. We've got good meals. We've got just so many things that we can be thankful for. But we need to learn to celebrate Thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So how do we respond to God's love and faithfulness? Notice the three verbs that are used here in Thanksgiving. The first one is shout. Shout for joy to the Lord. We come thoughtfully declaring about God's goodness. There are so many different reasons to give thanks. We don't find it unruly or improper to shout at a football game or a baseball game, especially if there's been a call. It's been something that we could question. And yet when we come to church, we're kind of hushed a little bit. And some of that could be in reverence, and I get that. That's okay. But are we excited about the things God's given to us? Are we motivated to give thanks? Do we truly celebrate it? That God's been on our page, been working for us, with us, alongside us. Listen to these words that were written in 1621 by Edward Winslow, one of the 50 or so members of the Plymouth colony that survived that first winter. He wrote these words describing the first harvest festival. Our harvest of corn came in well, and God be praised. We had a good increase of Indian corn. And our barley crop was also good, but our crop of peas wasn't worth the gathering. Sounds a little bit like this year, doesn't it? They were sown too late, and although they came up very well and blossomed, the sun parched them in their blossom. And once our harvest was brought in, our governor sent four men out to hunt fowl in order that we might have a special celebration, rejoicing together over the fruit of our labors. These four hunters in one day killed enough fowl to feed our company for almost a week. We were joined in our celebration by many of the First Nations people, the great Indian King Massasoit, along with some 90 men, joined us for 3 days of entertainment and feasting. The First Nations themselves went out and killed five deer, which they brought to the plantation and gave us as gifts to our governor and to our captain and others. And although our harvests were not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish that we could be partakers of our plenty, or that you could be partakers of our plenty. Look at those words again. By the goodness of God, we are so far from want. Boy, that pretty much describes who we are. They're profound words. By the goodness of God, so far from want. Is that your testimony today? It sure is mine. So how do you respond to God's faithfulness? You sit down and you think about all the ways that God has blessed you. You put it into words, what God has done in your heart, and then you shout it out, you declare it to the others. Shout to the Lord. The second verb is worship. We come passionately expressing our hearts in response to God's goodness. And when we think of all that God has done for us, the natural response is to worship. In Romans chapter 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And the key word there is offer. Worship's all about offering ourselves to God. Why would we worship? It says here that we offer ourselves to God in view of God's mercy to us. So worship is our response to God's love. God made the first move, and it's up to us to respond. So what does it mean when it says that offering ourselves is our spiritual act of worship? The word in the NIV for spiritual is logikos. which means reasonable and is where the word logical comes from. In other words, worship makes sense. It is the logical response of understanding and accepting God's love. We worship because that is what grateful, awestruck people do. And the third verb is know. That means that we experience God's goodness in our lives in a personal way. The word for know in Hebrew is the Hebrew word yada, and it means more than just an intellectual understanding. It is the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to say that Adam knew his wife. It means a first-hand encounter. Do you truly know that the Lord is God? That God has made you and that you are His? We need to take time to experience God's goodness in a fresh way, even this week. There's lots of things that we as a church can be thankful for. We've seen God working in so many ways here, even in the past year. I'm so thankful for the opportunities and ministries that we have. However, this Thanksgiving, I would like us to focus on just on where we have come from and where we're going to go. Even as the elders were starting to look at some visioning process and what would it look like? Where does God want to take us from here? In the coming year, is there a ministry that God has laid upon your heart? Is there an area that God is asking you to get involved with? Maybe like Squanto, God has been preparing you to help a certain group of people. And out of the overflow of what you have received in Christ, perhaps you are beginning to understand that you have been blessed so that you can be a blessing to other people. I want to motivate you just a little bit today. Perhaps this is a poor sense of motivation. I like the story, so you're going to get it. So what's the motivation into action? I heard about a middle-aged couple who lived, could be anywhere, but this one's in Michigan. And they had a son that lived in New York and a daughter that lived in California. And the wife said one day that she really wished her kids would come home for Thanksgiving. And the dad picked up the phone that day and the day before Thanksgiving, he called his son in New York and he said to him, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce. After 45 years of misery, enough is enough. You can call your sister and tell her." Well, frantic, the son called the sister in California who exploded on the phone. "There is no way they're getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." So she called her dad back and said to her father, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do anything until I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We're both flying home tonight. We'll be there with you tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" Well, the man hung up the phone, turned to his wife, says, "Okay, honey, the kids are coming home for Thanksgiving, and they're paying their own flights." What motivates you to give thanks, right? Make sure that you take some time this weekend to celebrate. Some time with your family, eat a turkey if that's what you enjoy. But most importantly, take the time to say thank you to God for His many blessings. If the government of Canada thought it important enough to give you a day off, the least you can do is to take the time and open up your heart and express your gratitude. We need to give thanks to the Lord. Come. There's been an invitation. There's been an invitation to give thanks. And then we check out what is our motivation. What's that going to look like? What's it look like if I'm truly thankful today? Is it going to look different than it has been last week? And then it's time to celebrate. I love Thanksgiving when the family's all around and there's good food and there's all that good stuff that goes on. And if you're in my family in Ontario, we do Thanksgiving, then there's lots of other things that we do at the same time. We may take a gun out to the target practice and do some stuff like that. Or generally, there could be some hay to play around with in a barn because we use small bales and we put them up in lofts, right? That's a long time ago, but hey, we still do that. And so some of those things are things that we do at Thanksgiving. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up to sing our closing song. Go this week, celebrate Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for. Even though there's been some ugly things in the past, we have much to be thankful for. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. for this day that we can come and give thanks. Lord, help, let us not wait a whole year to give thanks again. Let us realize that this needs to be something that we do daily. To appreciate what you've done for us and who you are. So Lord, as we go from this place, help us to truly celebrate Thanksgiving. Amen.